in prayer.
All right. Dear Lord, I thank you for being in our midst. I thank you for being in our presence. Help us to go forward in you, doing all that's in your heart. Lord, we thank you for every speaker. We thank you for Sister Mary. Lord, I pray that you will fill her with revelation knowledge to do the perfection of your will, that we all may be blessed. And Lord, bless us to go forward in you. You said in the last days that there would be people that you would call at the very last hour, and they would help bring in a multitude. And Lord, I believe we're at that point, and bless us to go forward, always yielding to you, doing things in your strength, that we may be true representatives of the Holy Spirit and of Jesus Christ in the will of Father God. In Jesus' name, bless every hearer, bless our families, and bless all of our efforts in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Apostle Hamby. And I want to greet you again and say welcome to the Bible study. Praise God. We have got, I think, two more Bible studies, because we were only supposed to do these June and July. So I think we have about two more. But what I'm going to need to do is kind of speed it up, because I wanted to teach the cross, the burial, the resurrection, and most of all, when he went up. Because when he went up, we went up too. So I'm going to need to really speed it up so I can get to all those teachings. But today, before you came on, Apostle Thurston and I was telling them we're going to a funeral today. We are going to Jesus' burial. Praise God. I thank God for Paul. He has such a revelation of the cross. I thank God for him, because everything is birthed through the cross. And once we understand the cross, we understand that the cross said that it's illegal for sickness. Sickness is not legal anymore because it was paid for. And if it's still operating in our bodies, it's illegal. And we tell it every day, you got to go. You can't stay here. You're illegal. Praise Amen. God. Amen. Thank God for the cross.
Amen.
Not only that, cross dealt with our sins. And we've already, I'm going to do a quick review of some of the things we have already discussed. Is that when we look at the four gospels, they kept us on the outside of what happened at the cross. But thank God for Paul. He took us on the inside and showed us what was for us. He said God was on the inside of Jesus, working, bringing man, reconciling man back to him. And I praise and thank God for that. He made a way. He provided for us. And he redeemed us from the curse of the law. And I thank God, as we were at the cross, we saw, thank God for John being there. He saw where the blood of Jesus came out. That the blood of Jesus that was shed for us. And he saw it coming out of the side. He said, oh my God, that's eternal life. He said, I've got to write about this. And he did. He wrote about it. And he said this in the epistle, that there's three that bears record on earth that this took place. It's three that bears record. And Lord, we thank you for those three that bear record, that say truly this is eternal life for us. But as we go today into the Word of God, we want you to go to Isaiah 53. If you have your Bibles, because I told you that this is a barrel. We're going to be talking about Jesus' barrel today. We're going to a funeral. That's what we're talking about today, his barrel. And that's very important in our lives, you know. Sometimes we just want to say, oh, he died, you know, and yeah, you know, and all this. But if we don't learn how to identify with all of this, and that's one thing Paul was able to do. He said, I was crucified with Christ, I was buried with him, I was raised with him, resurrection, and he said, I also went up with him. So he identified with every, I mean, with, and sometimes we want to identify with some of it, because it sounds, you know, glamorous and it's, you know, it's providing things for us. But we've got to learn how to identify with all those, because that is what he did for us. He wasn't having no problems in heaven. He came to earth because God so loved us that he decided to become one of us, to redeem us, to bring us back to him. And we talked a lot about Jesus being the second, being the last Adam, because the first Adam didn't get it done, so God had to send the last Adam. Now let's go to Isaiah 53 and 9. I want to start there, but we're going back into the Gospels. Isaiah 53 and 9 reads, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he has done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Now this is Isaiah talking about Jesus' burial. Now, isn't it just amazing that he can talk about his burial? I mean, do y'all realize that Isaiah is the eagle-eyed prophet? Not only he talked about Jesus dying on the cross, but he talked about his burial. Now, I just want to put emphasis on Almighty God that we serve. I just want to paint a picture today of the God, of Father that we have, that he prepared for Jesus' burial way back in Isaiah day, way before he came, he prepared. Now, Isaiah 53 and 9 read that man was preparing one way. This is what Isaiah said, man prepared for him to be buried. He said, when they crucified him and they was getting ready to bury him, Isaiah said, they had made his grave with the wicked. That's where they was going to bury him. They were going to bury Jesus where all criminals that died on the cross got buried. But I thank God, God said, I won't let that be. He showed Isaiah not only the cross, but he showed him his burial. He said, a rich man is going to bury him. He's not going to leave even the burial in the hands of the Roman soldiers, because they had planned just to throw him over like they do all the other criminals, give him that kind of burial. But God knew his burial was very important to us and to our life because he had to be resurrected. He couldn't be buried no anywhere. Because if the Romans had thrown him over, don't you know they would have just did him because they hated him so. They probably, even when they had thrown him over there with the other criminals to be buried, they would have probably still been jugging on him and just doing things to him because of the hate. But can you believe we serve a God that prepared his burial way before, even before he was born? He had his burial. He said, I'm going to raise up a rich man to take care of him in his burial. Because, people of God, I want you to know I'm taking time to teach you because all this is important to you. And I just want to refresh you on the kind of God that we have. Because, see, we're going through a time now, the world is going through a time now when they just see the bad. But if God was that concerned over his burial, how much more is he concerned for us now? Praise God, if we'll put our eyes on him, get our eyes off of Corona, the TV, the news, they're giving people a good picture to keep their eyes. But God wants our eyes back on him. And through this picture, I'm painting how concerned the Lord, how much loving and how much he prepared. He looked ahead. He seen Corona coming. And he prepared for us. God prepared for Jesus' funeral. He had this rich man. You know, Isaiah said, I see him trying to put him in with the wicked, bury him with the criminal. But Isaiah said, God would not let it be. And he said, with the rich. It's where he's going to be buried. In other words, I came to tell you he's going to be buried like a king. Now, I'm going to read Isaiah 53 and 9 out of the Passion Bible, it says. Okay, Isaiah 53 and 9 says, let me turn to it, in the Passion Bible. They gave him a grave among criminals, but he ended up instead in a rich man's tomb. Although he had done no violence, nor spoken deceitfully. Praise God. They had one grave. They had planned his grave too. They had planned his burial. But God wouldn't let it be. Because Isaiah said, I, the eagle-eyed prophet, looked for 42 generations and I saw his burial. It was going to be with a rich man, not with the criminals, because he wasn't that criminal. Okay, one of my students asked me this question, and I'm going to answer it right quick because of time. It was asked, did Jesus have to go to hell for us? Did he take the sickness and disease to hell, you know, for us? Did he go to hell for us? Now, my quick answer to that today going to be, no, he did not have to go to hell for us. He did not have to do that because the blood of Jesus was enough. I know y'all muted on the other end, but I just want y'all to holler out that the blood of Jesus was enough. When he shed that blood, and he said it's finished, it was finished. That's the reason he couldn't be buried with the wicked, with the criminals. Now, before Jesus, You know, at one while I'm not going to go on to all that, but I'm going to just say, he said, Father, I'm giving you my spirit. And that's what we do when we give our life to the Lord. And he takes it and makes us new creatures. We become new creatures in Christ Jesus, Paul said. Once we give it to him. And didn't Jesus hand it to him? Praise God. No, he didn't have. When he suffered on that cross, students, that was all the suffering that he did for us. Because the blood of Jesus was enough. The blood that he shed was enough. Okay, let's get back to the burial. Because although now this is a different kind of funeral we're going to today, the burial. We're going to see how fast they had to take his body down, this. And they didn't have no preacher there preaching for him. But Isaiah spoke a word or two for him in Isaiah 53. Isaiah said it wasn't no deceit found in his mouth. Isaiah preached it before it happened. He said, I want you to let you know he hadn't done no violence. And he wasn't going to be buried there like they want. They wanted, they really wanted him buried with the violence, with the wicked. But Isaiah said, no, he hadn't done no violence. And he said, well, no deceit found in his mouth. So he's not going to be buried there. So let's go to the book. Let's see. Awful Gospel talks about the burial of Jesus. So let's go to John, the 19th chapter, and let's start at the 38th verse. And it reads, and after this, Joseph Arimathea, then a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for the fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. Now, you know, I believe it was in Matthew. It says, and Matthew said that Joseph had to go there and beg for the body of Jesus. He didn't get it released easily. I mean, he literally begged for it. Now, this is the rich man that the eagle-eyed prophet Isaiah saw. He said, I saw him. He had to be born because Jesus had a purpose for his life. And that don't seem like a whole lot, you know? But whatever Jesus has assigned to you, whatever it is, if you do it, it's a lot in his eyesight. Now, Jesus has a purpose assigned to each of you on this phone. He has something for you to do. And if you do it, I don't care how small it seems in your eyesight. If you do what you're called to do, it's big in his eyesight. Because we're still talking about Joseph. We're still reading about him. How he besought. Now, John didn't say beg, he said besought. And besought is just like begging. I mean, he went to Pilate and he said, he became different. You know, John was just telling you everything about him. He said he was one of Jesus' disciples. And the other guy, I don't have time to read all of the gospel where this burial took place. But in another place, it says that Pilate, here John John said he's been a disciple of Jesus, but secretly. Now, secretly because he was, he could not, for the fear of the Jews, he was on the Sanhedrin, he was a rich man, so he did it secretly. But today we see him doing it openly. Openly, we see it done openly. And I praise God that he was an open disciple right here. I mean, he got really bold. It took a lot of boldness to step forth. Because I know after this, he's no longer, got the status that he once had. They labeled him with, oh, he's a Jesus lover. He wants the body. I mean, why would he want the body of a dead? He suffered some here. But we see him being a bold disciple. You might start off not being a bold disciple, but somewhere in your life, you're going to have to be a bold disciple. And let me finish reading it. So he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. In the 39th verse, it says, and there came also Nicodemus, another one that came to Jesus by night. Secretly. We see all those secret disciples coming out at a good time when Jesus really needed them. They're coming out. They're being bold. Now, we may want to ask the question, where are those 12? Where is that Peter that really walked with him, that said, hey, listen, I'll die with you. But we see here that the 39th verse, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh. And let me tell you, John in his writing, he's not leaving nothing out. He wants you to know which Nicodemus this was. He said this was the Nicodemus which at the first came to Jesus by night. He ain't coming that way anymore. I've heard a lot of preachers preaching on Nicodemus. But today we see him in a different way. And John is painting a different picture for us. And not only did he come out, he brought a mixture of myrrh and aloe and about 100-pound weight. He said 100-pound weight of myrrh and aloe. This was for to make sure the body didn't stink. But David had already told us that his body, that Jesus' body would not see corruption. So it wasn't going to be no stinking in his body. That was what Martha's concern was when Jesus was about to raise her brother Lazarus up from the dead. She says, by 4 days now, this man is stinking. We're going to have a lot of stink here. But when he got him out the grave, it wasn't no stinking. Because he said, Martha, I am the resurrection. But I want you to know today the resurrection is going into the tomb. But praise God, he's not going in there alone. We're going to find out the Trinity was working, that God was working, the Holy Spirit is working. We're not going to talk about the resurrection today. That's another teaching. Okay, but he brought all this to put on Jesus' body. My God, I know they labored them Jesus lovers. But they weren't too concerned about it because they say he's dead now. And they believe if you're dead, because they had the soldier to check. to put his spirit aside to make sure he was dead. The 40th verse, then they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloths with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. They buried him according to the way that the Jews bury. Okay, now in the place where he was crucified. Okay. I'm going to read that. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a guard.